Steve Dahl joins us from Chicago. Disco Demolition, the night disco died. How did this all start?
It's Mike Vack, man.
We were doing teen nights. I thought it would be fun to let fans on the field and all of that. I hated disco. I still hate disco. I guess that's politically incorrect. I've been chastised, accused of being homophobic. I don't even know what that means.
Homophobic?
Yeah, I know. Nobody, you see, because people take the events of 1979 and try to reframe them with the politics of today, the social politics of today. But what the book is it's a time capsule. And when you find a time capsule, you just open it up and go, oh, look what's in here. Let's find out about what happened then. That's all it is.
What a concept. It's frozen in time.
Yeah, it is what it is then.
So
not now.
Back in those days, you guys ran from 6 to 10. So at about 10:03, I was standing at Steve's door. You want to do that at Comiskey Park? And he said, we did it in Indiana.
Yeah.
We had 3,000 or 4,000 people. I said, 3,000 or 4,000 people to the White Sox the way we're playing this year. It'd be huge. Let's do it.
Double our attendance.
And that's how it started.
Did you know what happened was going to happen?
Honestly, I said to Mike that to his face that I would do it, but I didn't really want to do it because I thought, okay, I draw 3,000 people, which is a huge radio promotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still going to look really empty in there, and I'm going to feel like a moron down there on the field in an Army helmet blowing up a few records. So I tried to get out of it several times, but obviously that didn't happen, and obviously I was wrong. And you know, the Vex are the marketing geniuses, not the Dolls.
Here's the thing that I never could understand. The real mistake was mine when people turned out in such numbers. Old Comiskey had portable ticket booths.
Right.
And at one point, at this delicate juncture, Steve's on the field right behind second base. The records are getting ready to be blown up. We figured there'd be 35,000. I ordered enough cops for 35,000, so I was only off by, you know, 60%.
I think 35,000 seemed more than reasonable.
At 35,000, the coppers were laughing at me. They say, you're going to draw 35,000 for this. We move some of the people off the field. And crowd control is a misnomer. You know, if a crowd wants to take the stage
right,
or the field,
right,
they can. And that was the mistake, is I moved them outside to the ticket booths because kids who couldn't get in, the 40,000 or whatever, were outside, were shaking the ticket booths.
So
they were trying to tip them over, and didn't they have, like, older guys in there selling tickets?
Yeah, aww, guys like our age now. We were rushing to save them.
Because they were trying to tip them over like porta-potties.
July 12, 1979.
Which, ironically, in 79's Gregorian calendar, was the year of our Lord, and it was Friday the 13th, the day after.
Yeah, so, it was.
And I don't know, as Steve was getting ready to simulcast across the country, I was getting ready to simulcast back to Mars, which was the only place I was. All I got were offers from soccer teams, because soccer teams like riots.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do like riots. So how many people inside, outside, do you even know how many people showed up for this?
The White Sox have refined it and refined it so much so that they put an asterisk on 55,555, which was their all-time record for bat night. But there were close to 60,000 people inside, no matter what you hear. Inside. And another 30,000 to 40,000 outside.
That's what I thought. It was about 100,000 people showed up
for
the whole thing.
Definitely.
July 12, 1979 is when this happened. But you had only been in town for a very short time before that, right?
I came to Chicago in 78. I got lured here from Detroit, where I was doing really well.
Right.
Went to WDAI, got married in August of 78 because my still current wife would not move here to Chicago unless we were married. Good
there
Catholic
you.
Girl.
Good Catholic girl.
Moved her to Chicago in August, got the word that WDAI was changing to Disco DAI on December 24th, 1978. I was dressed in a Santa suit because I'd been down on the street talking to listeners, and he said, you can stay if you want, but you can't talk and you're going to have to play disco records. And I'm like, I can't do that. Those are 25 minutes long. You know, what am I going to do? So I quit, and then I ended up getting a job at the Loop in March. So the whole thing really, for me, was born out of me being, honked off that I got fired. I think that's just how radio jobs end.
Believe me, baseball jobs are not any less tenuous. All of mine have ended in pink slips.
Hey, you know, can I say something to Mike? In the book, and Mike, took part in the book very graciously, and there's a lot of good stuff in there from him. I guess I never really realized how hard of a time you had after that. And, I feel bad about that, and I'm sorry for that. And I certainly never intended that to happen, but I'm really, really proud of you and glad for you that you turned your life around and you're as successful and as happy as you are today. So.
Well, I appreciate that, and I am very happy. And there were two moments, and I was newly divorced and trying to dry out, and I was lying on the couch at Verl's house, and Verl was my landlord, and she'd come in, you know, at 10 o'clock at night and go, you want to go down to the VFW and get a beer, a soda pop? And, you know, I didn't know what people did during the day if they didn't drink. And I finally, Rolling Stone came up with the 25-year retrospective of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the first half of the show, they had a scene from Disco Demolition. And I thought to myself, it may have not enhanced my baseball career, but it is going to be a little piece of rock and roll history.
Right,
and
absolutely.
Since I was a lousy drummer and an even worse guitar player, I thought, hey, I'm in Rolling Stone, baby.
That's all that matters.
But how has Hoekstra's book been received?
Really, really well here. I had an appearance last night. I brought 60 books, and I just figured I'd bring all that I had. And I sold out in 20 minutes, and people were mad they couldn't get one. So it seems like, at least here in Chicago, man, people are really happy to see the book and can't wait to read about, all the events that preceded it, what happened that night and what happened afterwards from a lot of different perspectives. It's essentially an oral history of what went down. And it's, heck, I learned stuff.